Press the button, asshole.
What's up? Welcome to another episode of Snacks Facts. How are
you? You have a foundation? Because I do.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
This episode is brought to you by the Foundation for Eating Beaver, because I think beavers look like they would taste delicious. Those little woodchuck and sons of bitches.
I just like that they have the innate urge to see moving water, and it's just like, I got to stop that right now. I need to shut that down.
Apparently, if they hear the sound of water moving, they start making a dam.
No, insane.
They're just like, no, awful, awful. They can't hang with it at all.
They're not, they're not down with the wets. You know what I'm saying?
They're not down,
with the wets, bro.
Only the dries. I'm halfway through Kitchen Confidential right now.
Okay.
That's Anthony Bourdain's autobiography. It's been good. It's just about him working in kitchens, which is fine. Okay. I'm a little bummed because I want to know more about his life. And he'll just be like, yeah, so... Anyway, I'm working in this kitchen with my new wife, and I was like, who are you talking about?
Yeah, does he have a second book where he talks about his life?
I'm going to look into it. It's a side of Anthony Bourdain I didn't know that I'm not the biggest fan of all of it.
Fair.
He's a bit of a prick. I'm also like, I can't believe, he's legit, so I'm kind of like, whatever. Yeah, but it's like... he's talking about right now working at this one restaurant that made him appreciate Italian food because up until then he hated it.
Okay, what?
And I was
Why?
Like, what? I was like, what the fuck?
Italian food's great.
That's crazy. He's like, simple home cooking. I was like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, what's wrong with
but
you?
Yeah, now he gets it and appreciates it. But I was like, I don't know. It's really a whole world of things that I didn't even know about. So that's why I like reading books about just anything.
I just don't understand how you hate Italian cooking. I get hating Italians. You know what I'm saying? I get that.
I get hating Italians.
I understand that completely. But Italian cooking, really?
I know. But now he did come around to it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, at least he came around to it because Italian food is great.
It fucks. Wait. We got messages. Shit. Let me grab this phone.
Yeah, because Goose has two separate phones, one that he uses strictly for the Insta.
Yeah, because I have an Insta phone. I don't keep it on my normal phone. I'll never let the Zuck touch my phone.
Fucking insane.
And also, a big part of it is I just don't want all these goddamn notifications on my goddamn phone. I also don't have Discord on my phone.
That's why I keep... Do not disturb on my phone, constantly turn it on, and then I have a list of people, which is like you and my mom, that are able to bypass it when they call me.
Hell yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So I never get notifications for anything. So like if any like doctors try like at my doctor's appointment or anything, or like a pizza delivery person tries to call me, the phone does not ring.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, so if I order a pizza, I'm like, I need to turn my phone off, do not disturb, so I can, feel it vibrate or hear this bitch come
in. Did you see that video of Biden answering questions about genocide in Israel while he's eating ice cream?
Yeah, no, I did not.
Dude, that is our generation's watch this drive. He's like,
that's incredible. That's incredible.
I thought that was so fucking funny. I'm like, dude, put it down.
You gotta put the ice cream down
right now.
Yeah, probably not.
I love
the best.
His old man love, dude. Old people love ice cream, like especially,
dude,
because it was like the first treat that they ever experienced that was like invented for them. You know?
Yeah, and I get it. Ice cream's great. It's incredible. I love it,
especially because dude, Joe Biden's old enough that his like family didn't have like a fridge.
Yeah,
because he's
insane.
So fucking old.
Dude is old
as
fuck. And he's running this
like,
country.
I remember when they first had ice cream in my neighborhood. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Running this country. My favorite was the, I'm Joe Biden and I'm announcing my race for United States Senate. As he's like trying to run for president. Yeah, I was like, damn.
Did you see old-timer? That latest clip? I almost want you to play it. Of Trump talking about Russian and Saudi Arabia.
No, send it to me. Dude, I'll play it.
It's so funny. We need to talk about it. It's good. Yeah. It's everywhere. It's even on C-SPAN. Oh my God, there's a C-SPAN link I'm about to send you right now.
Oh no. I was walking past the front desk lobby at work, and the old security guard was sitting there reading Newsmax on the computer, and I was like, okay. All right. let's see. Will it play through the board?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's just the first
part. Hold on. Just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will repeat your...
good catch. Good catch. Good save. Good save. You know, he got off the podium feeling confident as fuck. He was like, they didn't even know. They had no idea.
Saudi Arabia and Russia will...
These are the two candidates.
Dude, his brain is literally turning to soup, on TV.
Yeah, and these are the two candidates that are going to be chosen to run. One of them will be chosen to run our country.
I don't like Biden, okay?
No,
I don't like
him.
Biden for a billion reasons. Biden, I don't really think, really has dementia.
Yeah.
He seems pretty sharp for an old man. I don't care how fucking sharp he is. He's old my problem.
Yeah.
He could be the sharpest 80-year-old in the world that isn't Bernie Sanders. And I'm like, eat dick. You know,
yeah,
Bernie Sanders,
fucked.
My only exception.
Yeah. Someone who kept a sound mind. Just,
you don't know what the fuck. Dude, Bernie Sanders is way too woke, so he's fine. But
there's no way we'd ever get Bernie Sanders in office.
Nah.
Never.
There was a couple weeks where it looked so good, dude.
Yeah, it looked promising, but it'll never
I've
happen.
Never felt such fucking hope for America in my
he's
life.
He's too progressive.
Oh,
and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just he's too progressive for the centrist, you know, dummies to be like, oh yeah, that's a good idea.
I know.
I
remember because the Biden got the nomination because all of the other centrists dropped out. They were on Bernie's right because he's the left, right?
Yeah.
And it was the thing that really made him was like he was like, I think that healthcare should be free. And everybody else to be a centrist was like, I think you should pay for some of it. I'm like, what the fuck? Shut up. You guys are the fucking worst.
Walking that line. They're like, we gotta walk this fine fence of not choosing a side to be on.
My sister fell down a flight of concrete stairs today.
That's
and
tight.
Had to go to the ER, and it's probably going to cost her a goddamn fortune.
Yeah, she had. You know, your sister ain't got money to pay. All right, just fucking knock everything over. That's cool, too. What are you even running from?
I thought you blocked the door so they wouldn't
I
come in.
Was about to, and then I was like, you know what? I'll give it a second chance because Toothless was pissing me off. And then Borges just came in here fucking goddamn
Borges
Tokyo drifting, dude.
Cat wrecking.
Yeah,
ball,
she
dude.
Is. She's a big girl. She is a big girl.
It is insane. She's over two times my cat's weight.
She's 14 pounds, dude. That's a big bitch right there. She fucks. She's got hands.
Yeah, she is.
She's got hands. But yeah, your sister can't pay for no medical bills.
No, she can't. I mean, basically every time she makes money, she gets hurt and then has to spend all of it on that.
As is tradition. As
and I'm just like, this
is
really stupid. It's not her fault. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see how she fell down the stairs. That could have been her fault.
It definitely could have been her fault.
Maybe she just was dumb as hell about it.
I know your sister. It definitely could have been her fault.
She probably won't listen to this episode.
No, definitely not. What's been going on?
Yeah. Huh?
What's been going on?
Oh, well, yeah, so she had to go to the ER. Her leg isn't broken. It's just really fucked up. But in my life, you know, whatever. Not much. I went to Topgolf. I don't love golf. Not a huge fan. I want to get better at it. It's the kind of thing that I want to get completely average at.
Driving ranges.
All right, cool. That's all I want to do is go to a driving ranges whale.
Yeah, driving ranges are about the only cool thing about golf. It's just being able to whack the fuck out of balls, dude.
I just want to whack the piss out of it. So I want to get better at just whacking the piss out of a ball.
Yeah, I don't need to fucking.
That's going
to
be my goal this year, is to hit a golf ball 250 yards.
Yeah, I don't need to be like, you know, good at golf.
I don't want to aim it.
Nobody who plays golf is someone I'm trying to impress. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, seriously.
Not at all. I was listening to the Smartless podcast, and they talk a lot about playing golf. And I'm just like, man, y'all really do be playing golf like that.
Old, they're loaded.
Old white men. Yeah, old rich white men. I guess they're not old, but rich white men in general. They really do be liking golf.
They're old. I mean, they're getting there. Yeah, Will Arnett's like, how old is that motherfucker?
He's like, oh, man, I think he's like almost 60 or something, right?
He's 53. I bet we hurt his feelings.
Yeah, sorry, Will. I love Will Arnett. I think he's incredible, but
Jason Bateman's older. I gotta admit, he looks better.
Yeah, Jason Bateman does look good.
Jason Bateman's 55. Like, yeah. He could easily pass for 40.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy. It's probably all the germaphobe in the fucking.
It is.
The
and nuts. His one single poop per day.
Yeah, yeah. How fucking much he scrutinizes.
You've been watching The Smart List, right?
I haven't watched the show, like the live show or whatever they did. I've been listening to it at work.
You still haven't watched it?
I watched the first episode. It was really good. I just haven't gone back to it. I need to. Fun. But I've been listening to the podcast because I was like, sitting at work, and I was like, what can I use to numb my fucking brain from this hellscape? And so I just thought of it randomly. I was like, oh, let me check that out. So I checked out Smart List, and I was like, damn, they got, like, every fucking guest in their, like, every celebrity and their mom is on this show. And
I mean, I would, Jason Bateman and Will Arnett.
Yeah, those dudes
kind of like A-list
well
stars.
Well connected. Yeah, well connected. So I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Anymore.
Do what?
What's his name, Sean?
Oh, Sean Evans? No, that's not. No, Evans is the Hot Ones guy.
It is.
Yeah.
Did you hear all that shit about him and the porn star?
Yeah, didn't he like start dating her and then someone roasted him on Twitter about it and he broke up with her?
No. How dare you?
Sean Hayes. Sean Hayes is the guy. Who is also, I will add, Sean Hayes is a very, fucking successful Broadway star, and he was in a lot of good TV shows. That's what he's doing now, and apparently he has a really good show on Broadway right now, but yeah. Tell me about the Hot Ones porn star.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know. So, I didn't care enough to look into it.
It was... I mean, he was trying to keep it on the DL, and I think just for the sake of, his fame. Like, he doesn't, want that shit to be public. She made it public.
Mm.
And she was, kind of lame about it, and he was like, okay, well, then they broke up. And then she, really trashed him for the breakup, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was like, it really just, to me, seemed like he wanted it to be private, and she didn't respect it, and then he's like, okay, this isn't going to work out.
I get it.
She was mean to him about it.
If you want it to be private for the sake of, you being fame, and you want a little slice of your life that is, yours, I get that. If you wanted it to be private because you didn't want people to razz you for dating a porn star, a little different. But
no, I really don't think it was that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think so. And I really stand Sean Evans.
I do too. I do too.
I really think that
I don't think Sean Evans would date a porn star if he wasn't cool with
think he cared about that. That's silly. I don't think this is a
Jonah Hill situation where he dates a fucking surf instructor and he's like, I don't want you giving surf lessons to guys. Yeah, or I don't like you wearing bikinis. Okay. What is she gonna do? Go fucking teach surfing and some britches, bro? Get the fuck out of here.
That's not even as far as things that Hollywood men have done, not even particularly
not that bad.
And it it did some of the most damage I've ever seen. He took such a hit for that.
I mean,
it was so relatable and real, and no one agreed with him. Everybody was like,
it was unanimously you suck decision. And so I think that's why he took so much fucking heat for it. I listened to the Smart List episode with Josh Brolin. I really like Josh Brolin. I think
he's so awesome.
He's a terrific
actor. So
and he seems
awesome.
Such a chill dude. But he talks about sometimes, because I've seen clips of other podcasts where he's like,
dude,
yeah, I was trying to shoot this movie and I was, I was flat out broke. And I'm like, all right, Josh, your parents were actors. So, or your dad was at least. You don't have to say that. I mean,
sure.
Yeah, I already like you.
They love to LARP.
Cosplay poor people, man. Yeah,
they love it. They love it. But dude, I just rewatched Dune 1 in preparation to go this weekend to see Dune 2. I gotta see it. Josh Brolin is just so cool and awesome.
Dude,
he's really the coolest in No Country for Old Men.
Yes,
he's the coolest in Sicario. He was really cool in Men in Black 3. He was even really good in Deadpool 2.
Dude, Outer Rain, Josh Brolin's Cowboy Hole was a great show. was a great show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think he did, yeah. I like him a lot. He seems like somebody who'd be cool to hang out with.
I hope so. True Grit, he was so good.
Oh, yeah, True Grit.
Oh, my God, dude. I love Josh Brolin.
Man, if it came out that Josh Brolin was like a fuck, I'd be like, God damn it.
That would devastate me. I also forget all the time that that's fucking Thanos. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I forget that, too.
He's like one of the most I don't agree or care about the Avengers, but yeah, he is like one of the most iconic villains of all time.
Yes, man. He is. And
crazy.
If you didn't
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, if you showed me Thanos and you didn't tell me it was Josh Brolin, I'd be like, man, that guy looks vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
And now that I know it's him.
If he was also Darth Vader.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's him, I can't see Thanos without seeing Josh Brolin.
It's crazy.
It is fucking wild.
He was so cool. Everest, you ever seen that movie? He was awesome in that movie. And Everest is great. It's an exciting movie about climbing a mountain. It's badass.
Good old Mount Everest. No, I did not see Everest. He's been in a ton of movies, hasn't he?
Yeah, tons. Hail Caesar, he was really good in. That's a great movie.
He talked about his worst movie ever, which I think was Jonah Hex.
I forgot all about Jonah Hex. 12% on Rotten Tomatoes
or whatever.
What did he about it?
He was just like, yeah, it was a piece of shit, and it is what it is. And I was like, you know what? It'd be like that sometimes.
He probably got paid.
Oh, fuck yeah, he got paid. Man ain't working for free. It's goddamn Josh Brolin. Not a chance.
Josh Brolin costs these days?
Yeah, that's
the economy.
He ain't got no Josh Brolin bucks.
Brolin
the
bucks.
Brolin bucks, dude.
Let's see if we can find out how much he got paid for this.
For Jonah Hex?
Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, it wasn't like a streaming, I don't think. It was like
all
an
of his,
movie.
Yeah, he is historically always shitted on, there's like tons of examples of him shitting.
And I like that because like most people, most actors are like, oh, okay, like, yeah, it was a bad movie, but I had a really fun time. And then he's like, it was a piece of shit. He's like, fuck that movie. I was like, hell yeah, Josh Brolin. Get them Brolin bucks.
Hell yeah. I'd get them. That's
get
so
them Brolin
ridiculous.
Bucks, dude.
It was it was like a $50 million movie.
Damn, really? How much did it make at the box office?
$10 million.
Oof. That is Pretty a bad. Hit. That is a hit. That's a hard hit.
That stings.
God damn. Can you imagine like being
the
person?
Here it is for $10 on Amazon. Yeah, like you're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, can you imagine being the person who like, you know, like made that movie? You're like, this is my movie. Everyone's gonna remember Jonah Hex. And then everyone like it's like you can have a bad movie and everybody remembers it and you're like, yeah, but at least you remembered it. And then you have like Jonah Hex where it's like it's a bad movie and nobody remembers it because
nobody
it was so
remembers
bad. Yeah,
it.
Yeah, you just fade into movie
Jonah
obscurity.
Hex, 81 minutes long and over 100,000 audience ratings puts it at 20%.
Damn.
It's just like everybody went and was like, I remember this movie.
Damn.
This movie sucks.
That is tough.
Dude, 2010, that's very early Rotten Tomatoes. That means, like, this is an up-to-date retrospective
that's
view of
crazy.
Jonah Hex.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
We hate Jonah Hex.
This is a Jonah Hex hate podcast.
I want to desperately meet someone who's like, I love that movie, unironically. Like, you know, there's this phenomenon of this group of people. Is that your house?
Dude, it's literally... Hold on. Let me kick them out real quick. Don't...
Okay.
Get out.
He's got to fucking deal with his cats because they're terrorizing his home because they're soulless demons brought to him by a curse he got from upsetting a witch, an old witch in New Orleans. And now he's paying this price eternally with these two demons that possess their bodies. So... It's really a tragic story, but we can get into that later. So anyway, what were we talking about?
Jonah Hex.
I think we've said enough about
I think we've
Jonah
said
Hex.
Enough.
You got any updates? You been doing anything? Oh, I still got to read these messages.
I had shows last weekend, which was cool.
They sell out?
Yeah, they did actually, which is great. And I'm now being forced to come to terms with the fact that I don't recover from back-to-back show weekends like I used to. because my neck is hurt for the entire.
Oh, because you were head banging, yeah,
dude. It's like at the base of the left side of my neck, all the way up to like the back of the left side of my brain. I'm just like, oh my god, dude.
That's bad.
Yeah,
dude.
I'm like.
Are you doing stretches?
Yeah, I'll stretch my neck when I wake up in the morning. I've also like have not been able to wake up in the morning. So that's been cool. Like every day.
Well, you
this
also
week,
only sleep like 5 hours.
Yeah, but like,
have you like when do you sleep 8 hours?
On the weekends, usually. Sometimes. Oh, okay. Once in a while.
8 hours?
8 hours is a lot. What do you want from me?
Really?
Yeah. There are days where I'll sleep like 9 or 10, to be honest. Like, if my body really, really fucking needs it.
It probably needs it all the time, bro.
Well, you know what? It needs to come to terms with the fact that it's not going to get it regularly, because we've got shit to do.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, we have shit to do.
So we did get a message related to an episode we did. Okay. Unfortunately, it's an Andy Dick story.
Oh, that's tough.
I actually cut from my content. I was going to read a whole thread full of local LA stories of people
shit.
Who ran into Andy Dick. Yeah, because he's everywhere.
Yeah,
he's a terrorist.
Yeah, he is.
He's a terrorist. He should be charged for all of these stories.
That's true.
So they said I can tell this story. This was from Kim, new listener. She messaged us. She said, Andy Dick was in Shreveport, Louisiana back in 2007 for the movie Blonde Ambition. My bad. There was a typo. She said he groped her, shoved his tongue in her face.
Okay.
No idea why, but Ryan Dunn was in town and he helped save the night and kept Andy Dick away from her.
Dude, what a great Ryan Dunn story.
Yes.
Dude,
isn't that crazy?
What a name drop I did not expect.
Ryan Dunn.
R.I.P. to a fucking real one.
I know. Honestly, Ryan Dunn he was like all right as far as those dudes go. Like, he didn't really.
He was just apparently he was just.
Did he die drunk driving at 120 miles an hour?
Drunk driving.
That's pretty lame.
And he also did kill someone in the vehicle with him. So,
that's terrible.
And imagine being the family of the guy who gets killed with Ryan Dunn, because no one's going to remember that guy.
That was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. What was that guy's name that died with him?
Zachary Hartwell,
damn.
Yeah, he had a blood alcohol content of 0.196.
Damn.
Holy shit!
Damn.
It was going 140 miles an hour in a 55.
Damn.
I mean, that is pretty terrible. That's pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's a horrible.
It happens, man. Fucking, you know. I don't. I'm not gonna minimize what he did, but he from what. All the stories I heard, he was a solid dude. He was just a little stinky.
In fact, interestingly, there's this section of the Wikipedia called just legacy, which
no
I don't
shit.
Know how often I see in just actors like that.
No, not
and
at
it's,
all.
It's kind of them talking about that he's a nice guy and stuff, which is cool.
He seemed like a really nice guy.
But complicated.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things.
But like, at least he helped this lady not be sexually assaulted more by the demon that
dude,
is Andy Dick.
Oh my god, bro. I hope Andy Dick just fucking.
It's weird to think that his tongue that touched Pamela Anderson touched you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's weird. Yeah, that is really
gross.
Weird.
You guys are Eskimo brothers.
I hope Andy Dick gets fucking hit by a car. Wait.
I was thinking that too.
Allegedly.
She also said, just another example of what a giant piece of shit that man is.
Yeah.
And she said, bummer, it was done, and not Andy Dick that got in a car crash.
Yeah, nice. True.
There you go. I know. That's cool. And they like our stuff.
Thank you.
They said that they didn't go to the first episode.
Nice.
Oh, and they went and watched They Clone Tyrone.
Great movie. Great movie.
And they said it was really good. Yeah, it's so good. So I told them to watch Sorry to Bother You.
Sorry to Bother You is another good one. That one's
that one's gonna rock your world.
Yeah, that They Clone Tyrone is weird, but Sorry to Bother You is fucking weird.
It's
like,
on another level.
Like halfway through the movie, I had to make sure I was still watching the same movie.
Not a lot of movies are willing to go as weird as that.
Yeah, no, they are not. There's like a handful of movies, maybe, that go as weird as the Sorry to Bother You, and it's fucking fucking weird. It is super weird.
It's awesome.
Crazy. They pitched.
I love showing people that movie.
Yeah, crazy. They pitched that movie and someone was like, yep, let's go.
Run it. Oh, amazing.
Yeah, let's have it. Let's make it happen.
I think. Oh, did we talk about the Avatar: The Last Airbender on the podcast?
No, no, I haven't watched it. The live action,
dude, it's so awful.
Yeah, I talked to one of the dudes in IT at my job about it, and I was like, you have Avatar: The Last Airbender.
I don't.
Why do you need a live action version of it? I don't understand.
I think their acting is kind of cringe. The costumes look ridiculous, dude. They're like,
I've heard that.
They look so fresh and brand new and like stiff. I'm like, what? Like the guy, like one of them is the earthbender, Boomy, comes out of the, I went to the Boomy episode because he's my favorite, and he looks like clean as a whistle.
That,
and I was like, Boomy was like a dirty dude.
Yeah, that is like the one thing that will, like when we talk about like, oh, my immersion is broken, that is the one thing that will break my immersion.
Hey, dude, like, and it's so rare for costumes to be that bad.
Yeah, like everyone was raving about that show. I think it was like 1884 or something like that. It was a old cowboy show or whatever. I can't remember. But the first episode, one, was like this like pretty white girl with blonde hair and blue eyes watching her wagon get burned by a bunch of Native Americans. And I was like, not a great way to open the show.
I mean, come on.
But they like panned out and she was wearing this like crisp, like pristine dress. And I'm like, you're in the 1800s.
Just walked across the prairie.
Dude, for real. You know? Get the fuck out of here, bro. As soon as I saw that, I was like, I'm good. You should look dirty. Like if you are in those times, should look dirty. And I don't give a fuck if I go back in time and everyone there is for some reason clean as a whistle with starch press clothes. I want them dirty in my movies. I'm sorry.
I mean, I know for a goddamn fact they were dirty walking all the way across America.
Yeah.
What? Of course they were dirty.
Yeah.
They were carrying all their water. They couldn't put it on their bodies.
Dude, no. Fuck no. Ridiculous. Absolutely not. They had to fucking drink it. Fucking
dude,
get them goddamn Timberlands dirty. Let's see it. I don't want to fucking.
It takes such an interesting person to walk across America like that.
Yeah,
that
I mean, I guess when like
that's just to be alive. They just choose to walk like 1,000 miles to like just have a house over there. Like
And then like I like to think that like Colorado is where it is because they were walking across America and they saw the mountains and they're like, fuck that. Oh, fuck that.
They're like, actually, I love the view here.
Yeah, they're like, there's no way we'll survive that. We're stopping here.
Oh my God. No one's ever been on the other side.
The journey's been cut a tad bit short.
Imagine trying, you're like, you know what? Let's just walk up and see if we can get around. And you're like,
dude, shut up, bitch. Absolutely not.
Yeah,
that's how you get killed as the leader. That's how like you struck with a rock. Not making a bunch of fucking.
That shit nuts.
Folk who just walked across America to go up.
People really were built different. They really were. You gotta hand it to
absolutely
them. Another goddamn level.
When people are like, oh, we're so soft these days. Yeah, we are.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Like I get it. Sorry, I'm not out here fucking forging my goddamn sconces in my house by hand and also walking around with an oil lamp to see in the dark. I have modern technology. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I don't know animal husbandry.
Yeah, excuse the fuck out of it. Yeah, for real, dude.
They're not useful.
Yeah.
Mod's useful.
It's for funsies, dude. And it's like, I mean, of course, the people who had to literally build America were a bit stronger, than the kid working at McDonald's.
I was watching a Channel 5 about the border crisis, and he was talking to migrants, and some of these, dude, there was one guy, he was just like hungry as shit, because they had this big field of immigrants that they were just holding there, and they were getting ready to load into trucks or vans or buses or whatever, and then out to a processing facility. And this guy's like super hungry, and he like asks them, they get some a little like a snack or some food that they have in the truck, and they ask him about the trip, and all like barely all he can say is just like, it was so hard. And then he starts crying.
Dude.
He's like, it took me months. And it's like, Oh, my God. Dude.
My thing is, like, if you're willing to trek across the fucking, like, desert in just horrid conditions for months and, like, pay some of the shadiest people you've ever met in your entire life to, like, help you, I think you should get a shot. I'm sorry. I think you should get a little shot.
There's one guy who crossed from northeastern Africa to West Africa on foot and vehicle, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then flew to Europe and then to another country and then to Mexico or like South America, like maybe I can't even remember where, but like North South America.
Yeah.
And then walked the whole strip all the way through Mexico. And you know what they all say? Mexico was the hardest part. That shit is nuts. Damn. Yeah, because the cops are like,
oh, super, yeah. That makes
super,
sense.
Super brutal.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah, I'm sorry, dude, bro. I think you should get a shot. Like, anyone.
I mean, fuck. And like, it's
crazy to me that, like, all these people are like, we need to shut down the border, son. I'm like, you know, like, don't you want people who want to be here? Like, people who
let people in, yeah, and they are suffering.
And I'm like, you want people who, like, want to be in this country with their whole badussy, you want them here, because they're going to work so fucking hard. They're going to be great.
He talks about that all the time with these people, and he kind of makes a weird point. He seems to be kind of blaming someone for, like, the propaganda that tricks immigrants to come to America.
Yeah.
Like, he seems to, like, kind of view it as a coercive combined effort. And I was like, I just think that's how America comes off.
Yeah, we give off the vibe of, like, look how fucking, like great we are all the time.
Yeah, of course our movies make America look fucking rad.
It's propaganda, bro,
because
and
you don't
it works.
The movies that make America look shitty aren't that famous, and you don't watch them, you know? Like, whatever, exactly. You're all the way in fucking Ecuador, you know? And, so he's talking about these people who, like, think that America is going to solve all their problems, but then he's talking about to these coyotes. I started saying coyotes as a joke, and now I fucking do.
I just say coyotes because I ain't got time to say the whole name.
These coyotes, and they cross the border all the time. They spend time in America. They live in Mexico. And they were like, oh, America's hard as fuck. I made more money, but it was so expensive. It was so brutal.
It's expensive, and, like, it's really hard. And, like, especially if you're an immigrant that, like, doesn't speak English, it's going to be hard for you to find a job that doesn't suck. One of my favorite stories to tell is I had this friend growing up named, I won't name drop him, but I had this friend growing up who his family. And a social security number. His family moved into the house, like, diagonal from ours. And it was, like, a relatively smaller house. Like, it was still two stories, but it wasn't that big. And I grew up, like, my stepdad, when we moved in with him, we started living in suburbia. So he lived diagonal from us and in this cul-de-sac. And his parents had came to America, did not speak any English at all. Like hardly any English. And so it was my friend, and then his older brother, who was also a friend of mine. And I think at the time, they had a newborn. But when I was growing up, they would always come hang out at our house in the morning for, like, before the bus stop, because their parents worked and everything like that. And after school, they would always, like, run over to our house with, like, fistfuls of, like, $1 bills and try to give them to my mom from their parents, because the kids spoke English, but their parents didn't. So the kids were like, hey, our parents want us to give you this money because you take care of us in the morning. And my mom was like, no, I'm not taking your fucking money. I was like, she was like, your son is friends with my son. If you're friends with my son, that's all I need. I'll take care of you.
That they almost think that it needs to be that
exactly.
Way.
So, but
why would they think that?
Well, I think it's one of those things of, like, they don't want to act like they need a handout or they need someone to take care of their kids. Oh, you know, they're just hardworking people. But my mom was like, no, our sons are friends. Like, if they're friends, we're cool. They can be at my house anytime they want. So years go by. I haven't talked to this dude in years. And one weekend I was home, and this is still when I was in the Army, for some reason I was like, I wonder what this dude's up to. So I hit him up, and I was like, hey man, what's going on? I haven't talked to you in forever. How you been? And we started catching up, and I was like, do you still live in Tulsa? And he was like, yeah. I was like, well, I'm home for the weekend or the couple weeks or whatever. You want to hang out, catch up, you know, blah, 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 blah. He's like, yeah, come over. And I was like, you still live in the same neighborhood? He was like, I live with my parents, but we still live in the same neighborhood. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, same house. And he was like, nah, we moved. I was like, all right, cool, cool. So he gave me his address, went and fucking showed up to that motherfucker's house, biggest house in the neighborhood, biggest house in the neighborhood. And his dad had built a house onto their house for him and his brother to live in. And
built it with his own two hands. With
his own two hands. And so apparently I was like, bro, what the fuck? This is such a nice goddamn house compared to the one that y'all used to live in. I was like, what happened? He was like, well, my dad started a construction company and he's really good. He's fucking really good at what he does. And it took off. It worked his fucking dick off. Yeah.
He probably was the equivalent of four American men. Dude, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. And his dad used
to. Four, like, 40-year-old American men, you know? His experience.
Yeah. Yeah. His dad used to call me a big boy growing up because I was fat. He was like,
don't love it.
He'd be like, what's going on, big boy? And I was like, what's up, dude?
Ooh, it stings a little, Dad.
Yeah, good people though, really, really good people.
It's all love. It's all love.
Yeah, right. I was like, all right, fucking take it easy. But yeah, really, really, really good people. I haven't talked to that dude in a long time, so I might hit him up again and see what he's been up to. Do what? Oh, like 36 minutes.
Oh wow, I got these Wilhelmina peppermints.
Oh, Wilhelmina pepper. They look like cigarettes.
Lizzie thought they were cigarettes as well.
Yeah, they look like cigarettes.
Why do you have those? Yeah. She's very curious. I was like, because I love mints.
I'm smoking cigarettes. What do you want?
They are pretty gross.
Yeah?
Honestly. Yeah, they're not great. I bought a few of them at a time. They're vegan. I think they're Danish, and I don't really like the verb.
Yes,
I just want really minty mints. Yeah. If anybody knows one, please message me.
Like the warhead of mints, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Like
no,
the warhead of mints. That's exactly what we want.
That is, yeah. I'm always chasing that high.
That's fair. I love a good mint. I do like a good mint.
I've got ample supply.
Something that leaves me refreshed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. People don't, dude, and the mint game is devastated right now. It's Tic Tac has abandoned has lost the fucking plot, dude. They only have like one mint flavor
left. No shit.
Anymore. Like, literally, I mean, if you can find wintergreen, but even that's kind of rare, but it's like wintergreen, which is barely mint. You know, wintergreen's
different. It's like a cousin of mint.
And then they have the white ones, which is just like peppermint, I guess. And those are good. I love those. But that's it. Everything else is fruit. That's it, and almost nobody else even hardly makes mints. I don't know what's happening. It's all gum. I don't like gum like that.
I don't either. I don't be fucking with gum like that either.
I don't want gum. I gotta spit it out. Nah.
Mints yeah, I'm good. Weird. I'm good. They dissolve, and I don't have to deal with them after that.
Who's starting this week?
I have no idea.
I think it's. Oh wait, remember if you're covering the dick, that you're going first.
Oh no. So yeah, it's you.
Oh, it's my turn. It's weird. You got anything else?
No, that's not that I can remember. I need to start writing shit down because things do happen, and then I just
I do write stuff down. I got a few notes.
Dumb, stupid, dumb shit happening in my life that I'm like, okay, let's try to remember that. I know when we stop recording, we'll be like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. But go on.
Okay. So, oh wait, was it movies? Because there was last time you even mentioned that they were like, damn, there's some movies I wanted to talk about.
I can't remember them. And we started late, so I'm like, yeah, let's get to the stories. Yeah, we'll pick it up next week.
So I'm covering the dickhead, the bad guy, the spice. I thought about splitting this up and farming out each like person, but it's so much. I'm just gonna do the person I'm picking this time is the entire LAPD.
Okay,
the LAPD,
nice,
as the bad guy.
Hell yeah!
Really doesn't make sense to do it any other way. So. The earliest police force of Los Angeles was founded in 1853, a volunteer force that assisted the sheriff's office. They were commissioned because L.A. started as a gold rush town. It was full of Wild West goodness, gambling, whoring, shooting, too much of it, some said.
The fun police.
Yeah. at one point, L.A. was considered to have the highest murder rate in the U.S. Although it was back when they would just you could just say that stuff and people would be like, that sounds right.
Yeah.
You know, that it's the mayor would announce it in panic and everybody would be like, that's true.
Yeah,
that's science.
That is correct.
So there were some competing orgs and militias, but it wasn't until 1869 that the first paid force was created, and it was six officers under the command of William Warren, who was elected marshal in 1865. He was also the dog catcher, and he was the tax collector, where he collected 25% of the collected tax.
Oh, what?
Like, if he got 25% of whatever he collected.
That's,
I was like,
crazy.
It's amazing. I was like,
yeah, that dude was just taking people's money.
That's badass. That's part of the job. You probably get paid a fortune.
Oh, that dude was rich.
So, thought that was a sweet gig. He was killed by his deputy in 1870 in a dispute over the return of a trafficked Chinese woman. That's sad.
All right.
The deputy was acquitted for the shooting, which I was like, what the fuck was that
dude,
story?
Yeah,
I could not
real.
Find it. I was like, how the fuck did he get away with this?
That's crazy.
The gist of it seemed to be that they, like, so this was a Chinese, essentially, sex slave immigrant,
yeah,
who escaped custody, escaped her captors. The police went and got her back to her owners,
oh,
is what they did.
Great.
And then the two officers were arguing about who gets the reward money for returning the slave.
Oh, my God.
And then one of them killed the other.
Are you shitting me?
No, that's
it's all
much
bad.
Like, yeah.
It's all bad.
I was like, holy fuck, we had just started. Don't worry. The deputy was a dedicated secessionist, hated black people, and he was active in a bushwhacker gang literally right before he became a man of the law.
Hell yeah.
Don't worry, his brother shot him a few years later.
He hell yeah, even better, dude.
Dude, this is the Wild West, yeah, man. Ain't nobody living long.
For real.
So, and this will not be the only time, by the way, that the LAPD shoots its own. So the force grew steadily with LA's population, and by 1900, they had 70 officers for the 100,000 population, which was about 1,500 people per officer. 1903, they had 200 officers. By 1910, they hired a woman who became the first female police officer in all of America, and they made her make her own uniform, which I was like, you...
That's crazy.
Little dickheads. Oh,
that's
my
insane.
God. And by 1916, they hired an American or African-American female officer who was also the first in the U.S. Cool. They're so progressive, yeah, right, gang? They definitely aren't going to do anything wrong.
Of course not.
So we're getting to the 20s, where the LAPD had finally established a monopoly of violence in the city and quickly became bribed and under control of Prohibition-era mobsters and politicians. Effectively, the rich turned the police into an armed gang to enact their whims and protect their capital, which, thank God, we don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Because that would be horrible.
That'd be terrible.
I couldn't imagine living a life like that, where you live in these like feudal whims of lords.
Yeah, not in these today's progressive society.
Yeah, that's why you don't need to own a gun, because we have the police to keep us safe. So,
exactly.
Recall, if you listen to Season 5, Episode 6 of this podcast, which was the True Crime Cinema Club, we actually get into a specific story about the LAPD, which I won't go into the full length of it, but long story short, a woman's child goes missing, and the police gave her back some other fucking kid.
And then they were
and
like,
they were like, no, it's the right kid.
She was like, that's
go
not.
Ahead,
that's,
take him around the block.
Yeah.
See how he feels.
Yeah. And then she was like, that's not my kid. And they're like, just try him out. Maybe you'll like him better. Like,
so they, the police returned the wrong missing child to a woman and then absolutely insisted that they got it right. They didn't. They ignored dental records, teachers' petitions, the word of the mother, and refused accountability, punished poor Christine Collins for trying to find her son. Oh, man, the police, like, not taking credit for their responsibilities and their mistakes and not doing their job right. Like, thank God that part
of
it is over, too.
Yeah.
So they also – should I spoil the ending of that?
What?
That story, or should we just make him go listen to it?
You can tell him what. Yeah.
The kid was killed by a serial killer who kept killing children.
Yeah.
And the police really did not want to deal with that.
Yeah, they're like, that's way above our pay grade.
That sucks. <for them>. and it was a bunch of kids who that obviously people had known were missing. They were black, and the police didn't do anything
care
about it. So They were. It's because they were busy spending a lot of the 20s infiltrating socialist, communist, and labor groups. Because what could be a more terrible threat than the people who want to be rewarded for their labor? By the 30s, California had become it was already a popular immigration destination for Americans, but the stock market crash, Dust Bowl, and Great Depression led to an explosion in destitute citizens fleeing west in hopes of a better life. In California, these economic refugees were called Okies, with great disdain. The word spit out. So hated were these fellow Americans that the LAPD began taking on the role of screening, harassing, and turning away any especially useless-looking vagrants, either deporting them outright or threatening them to hard labor in a rock quarry, or they would just do that. This was so called the Bum Brigade. This is probably going to come as a surprise too. It was rife with physical abuse and abuse of power, as they were, and they were picking up in some cases up to 1,000 people a day.
So shocked by that.
Let's see. Reports characterized the migrants as disease-carrying ne'er-do-wells, criminal Bolshevik bums, won't workers, two-legged locusts, and unpatriotic desirables.
Not the two-legged locusts, dude.
Yeah, that's what the LAPD was working on. The ACLU attempted to bring a case protesting their actions at the border, but then the LAPD intimidated the plaintiff out of the state, causing them to drop the case. Yeah. And all of this was done with the explicit support of the LA Times, which, if we remember from the last episode, got blown up by unionists. And I'm like, I kind of think they were onto something now.
The LA Times has a track record of just being the worst. I'm pretty
sure.
They
were really fucking slinging.
I'm pretty sure in one of our first stories that we covered, that I covered, the Zoot Suit Riots, the LA Times was basically like.
You're getting ahead of me.
Sorry, I didn't know that was going to come up. All right, go ahead.
It's all LAPD, you know? So, I will say in the tiniest bit of defense of the police, what they were doing had broad public support, and the community loved it. I mean, in California, obviously.
Yeah.
And Oregon, because they were sending them up there a lot, and the police loved it. So, you know, it was, I don't know. They weren't, like, totally just out of their fucking on a wing.
Yeah, out of their element. Everyone was like, about it. You're doing a good job, bud, which they weren't, but yeah, go on.
So the early 40s saw the police, the LAPD, at their weakest because all of the real men were shooting Nazis. So the force was largely staffed with recruits who had 6 weeks of training versus the standard 12.
Just a regular cop. That's just a regular cop.
I was like, whoa, 6 whole weeks? Yeah. Damn. It was this poor staffing and training that prevented the city from suppressing discontent that roiled into infamous Zoot Suit Riots that we covered in Season 11, Episode 3 during our disaster season.
Nice.
Eventually, this podcast will encompass all of American and human history.
Yeah, we're just starting with California first.
I forgot to mention a couple episodes ago was our 150th episode.
Nice. Hell yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
So many.
That is crazy.
So, post-war, the LAPD made national fame by sucking ass at their job, by not solving the infamous Black Dahlia murder, and right around this time, they also formed a gangster squad that was basically given free rein license to do anything that they fucking wanted to stop the mafia that the FBI, at the time, was continuing to refuse to acknowledge, which we covered in Season 14, Episode 12.
Yes, sir!
J. Edgar Hoover. warrantless wiretaps, unofficial intimidation, fake drive-bys, and then they became largely corrupt and accomplished very little. Didn't realize this, but this was the LAPD also came up with the "to protect and serve" motto that was popularized by the TV show Dragnet. I didn't realize. I thought that was just the standard.
Yeah, so did I. They got it from the TV show?
No, the TV show made it popular because the LAPD came up with it.
Oh, okay.
The show
about
the LAPD. Okay. Yeah. I just like, I didn't know to protect a motto.
Yeah, I thought that was just the cop thing.
Or some legal thing they had to say. Yeah.
A legal thing they had to say. Crazy to fucking make a goddamn slogan that you just don't adhere by. You're like, this sounds good, right?
Protect and serve capital.
Yeah. And white people.
So the 50s is when the LAPD says professionalism really entered the police force. I tried to get more of the LAPD history from its website, but a lot of it doesn't work. Interesting.
Yeah.
Which is odd that the LAPD was saying they were so professional, because 1951 is when members of the police beat 7 men, 5 Mexican-American and 2 white, leaving them with ruptured organs and broken bones. It is often cited the beef between the LAPD and the Mexicans started with the Zoot Suit Riots. So this is kind of like an echo of that tension.
Yeah, I could see that.
This started because someone called in an underage drinking at a bar. The 7 dudes all had a real ID to say that they weren't minors. So the cops threw them out anyway, and it turned into a real fucking dust up. They started throwing hams, and I love that, because I was like,
"Yeah,
I mean, dude, get the fuck out of here at this point." You know, like, dude, why are you kicking me out of the bar, you fucking nerd?
Just be like, wrong. Yeah, be like, you have good ideas. Okay, see you later. Not like,
yeah, bye.
You're gonna respect my authority. Yeah, you're dude, wrong. You're fucking wrong.
So it turned into a dust up, and like the one guy gets a black eye, one guy takes a lick on the chin. They're both fine. The other guys had ruptured organs, broken bones. So 7 hours later, the LAPD went and arrested all of the men at their homes, although one of the men got dragged by his car or dragged by his hair into a squad car, and then they extra beat his ass with some more cops, and they broke his face, and he ended up needing multiple transfusions to stay alive.
You don't say.
Then one of the cops heard a rumor so there was a Christmas party going on, just a bunch of drunk cops looking for something to do. There was a rumor going around that as a result of all this, one cop lost his eyeball. He got a black eye. So they pull all of the dudes from their jail cells, and 55 of the police in America's LAPD protecting and serving cops beat these dudes for an hour and a half. Then management covered it up for 3 months. Media coverage obviously totally ignored the beating. They didn't talk about any of that shit.
Yeah.
The police chief said that these criminals were just saying that they got beat to the cops so that they would get removed, so that their gang could get more powerful.
Oh, of course. That's what it was.
However, more investigations found, shockingly, tons of incidents with witnesses and records of LAPD impeding investigations. Shocking news. This led to grand jury hearings. 8 officers were indicted. 5 were convicted. Only one got more than a year in prison.
Jesus.
39 officers were temporarily suspended without pay, and 54 officers transferred.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, that's dude. Crazy. They didn't do a fucking thing. About like an atrocity.
Yeah.
Dude. An insane atrocity.
A war crime.
That they were like wrong to have done. Yeah. They didn't even need to start it. They were wrong. This may come as a shock if you guys haven't been listening, but Los Angeles now had deep-seated animosity between the police and its non-white populace. For whatever reason. I don't know what conclusions it draws.
You got us transferred.
So in 1965, a 21-year-old black man failed a field sobriety test, and he resisted arrest, apparently with the help of his mother. They beat the brakes off of him in front of a crowd full of people. The rumor went around that they beat a pregnant lady, that the police beat a pregnant lady. She wasn't pregnant. They lied. Whatever. The cops do it all the time.
Little lie.
The mob started forming up. They started throwing rocks at the cops. The crowd grows, and we got the Watts uprising. I don't call it a riot. And it lasted for 6 days, turning 46 square miles of LA into a war zone.
Damn.
This uprising lasted a stunning 6 days and took 14,000 National Guard members to quell.
Damn.
Reports of the time call it an active war zone. Citizens shot at the police. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Blockades were thrown up. White-owned buildings all over town were burned. Up to 35,000 people participated in the uprising, and another 70,000 were, quote, sympathetic but not active. 34 people killed, 1,032 injured, and over 3,400 arrested, with 200 buildings destroyed. Most of the people arrested had no prior criminal record, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Out of the 3 civil servants killed, 1 was a firefighter who died in a structure fire.
Damn.
Which is sad.
R.I.P.
The other 2 were cops who were shot by other cops on
what a bunch of dummies.
They're so dangerous to everybody.
And themselves, dude. That's crazy.
So the media blamed it on communists, white people, and the cops blamed it on black and brown people. And the government commissions found that unemployment, high poor schools, inferior living conditions, and police brutality were all found to contribute to this event. Wow, that's shocking. A lot of things that being neglected there. That's wow.
And the cops.
And so then, they addressed all of those issues, and then they acknowledged and found all those issues, and then they didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
The guy who started it all was given 180 days in jail, and then he was arrested 34 times over the next 10 years. He was just constant target of the police everywhere he went.
That makes sense. Of course.
The 70s was the gang era. Philadelphia had just come up with the idea of a SWAT unit to respond to a rash of ongoing bank robberies, and the LA goons thought that was a cool idea, so they made their own SWAT. They also made a gang intelligence unit to combat the Crips and the Bloods. They did this with a unit that they came up with called the Total Resources Against Street Hoodlums, or TRASH.
Damn.
It spells... I was like...
Damn.
What the fuck?
They can just do whatever they want. They like, really...
I know that they're calling the gang members trash.
Yeah.
But, like, they're calling their unit...
Trash.
Trash.
Yeah.
The trash members actually didn't much care for the name, so they changed it to Community Resources Against Street Hoodlums. Crash.
I want to know the guy that came up with the first name. I want to know.
I want to know the guy who was like, guys, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like that name.
Am I the only one here? Am I the only one that crazy. There's some connotations with this name that don't look good on us.
So this was the era that much of the tools of modern policing that we've come to know and love were developed. They also implemented a vice unit that they constantly targeted LGBT people with, believing them to be sources of pedophile rings often. This is an insane story. There was a gay event at a bathhouse where they were selling, auctioning sex slaves, like a gay fetishy thing. It was to raise money for gay organizations in the area.
Like consenting adults, fucking.
It's a camp jokey thing. Exactly. All consenting adults. The LAPD spent months and over $150,000 of 1970s money dollars, which is $830,000 now, to organize a raid to free the slaves.
Oh my god, dude. They showed
up
and
they liberated these men by putting them in handcuffs.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
No one was charged.
What a bunch of fucking idiots, bro. They're so stupid. They're so dumb.
Were they proud of themselves that day?
Yes, they were. They went home and they were like, no way. No way were the bad guys here.
No way. Couldn't see it. So now we're in the 80s, the era when the CIA began selling crack to black communities. In an attempt to stop gangs, the LAPD arrested over 50,000 people in raids from 1984 to 1989, accompanied by a 33% increase in complaints of police brutality, or as we call it, the old LAPD special. One such raid involved 90 officers taking two whole apartment buildings. They smashed up furniture, punched holes in the walls, practicing for their wives. And even spray painted LAPD rules on their walls.
How are you any different, my boys? How are you like, it's cool when you do it.
Totally lost on.
Yeah.
No one was charged from this. They found less than 6 ounces of weed and 1 ounce of coke.
Wow.
They acknowledged that they were just sending a message. And I was like, well, that's a gang.
Yeah, that's what gangs do, my boy.
So, more black men and women were arrested than during the Watts uprising, and by April 1988, a whopping 60 of the 50,000 arrests were felony arrests.
Oh my
Six
god.
6-0.
6-0.
And only 32 charges had, and only 32 cases were charges filed.
Dude, I bet.
The LAPD, however, asserted that charges were applied to 70% of arrests.
Shut up. Shut your fucking mouth.
He
just said
it. He was manifesting.
Yeah. I bet being a cop in these times, you just felt bulletproof. You were like
oh dude, you were
you could nothing could happen
you were
to
you god you could do anything you were fucking, like a GTA character
dude
you know
I know
what I mean?
Yeah with cheat codes and everything just fucking walking just around like, not giving a fuck
stop bang
yeah
he ran at me
drop a knife on him
So now we're in the 90s. Can you think of anything that LAPD did related to the 90s?
Yeah, maybe a few things. Yeah.
So 1992, LA uprising in response to the acquittal of four LAPD officers who brutally beat Rodney King on camera.
Beat the shit out of him.
Very brutal. It's clear they're just beating his ass for 80 seconds. They don't even try to cuff him. There's times where he's like trying to get up and they're just beating him instead of like putting the fucking handcuffs on
him.
He's
like on his knees at one point and they're just fucking beating the piss out of him. I'm like,
he was under the influence of PCP. He wasn't. So now we have the LA uprising. 63 people killed, 2,400 injured, 12,000 arrests, over $1 billion of property damage. Badass. The LAPD's chief resigned. The Crips and the Bloods had a temporary truce, which scared the shit out of the cops.
Dude, oh, yeah. Can you imagine? like, not even just like, because I obviously, you know, the Crips and the Bloods or whatever were a large force at that time, but like, you're a cop and those are like they're like the boogeyman to you. Like, that is like your fucking enemy number one. And the one thing that you feel safe about is that they'll kill each other before they get you. And then
they all work together.
You hear that they're like, no, we're good. Let's call a temporary truce. Oh my God. They must be so scared. Little pussies.
They were. So, the LAPD chief resigned. Probably a good idea. Federal trial was brought up because of civil rights violations and two of the four officers were found guilty. Two. One of the officers who testified against the LAPD ended up killing herself in the lobby of the LA Sheriff's Department.
Oh,
in fact, I'm kind of curious about that story. It's really sad.
She probably got, because she testified against the cops. She probably got harassed day in and day out.
And she was a woman, which probably was already its own hell working in a police officer's. So, yeah, I was like, you know, there's a lot to read between the lines there in that story.
Yeah.
1997, they had the famous North Hollywood shootout. We covered that in an episode that I couldn't figure out.
Hell yeah.
And the late 90s, the super cool Crash group that we talked about earlier finally gets outed as just a gang. That the other gang members planted evidence, covered up shootings, like full on, a Training Day. Basically, like the plot of Training Day. It was actually based on like the practices known of the Crash teams.
That's crazy.
One man who was arrested for one of these cops was arrested for stealing 6 pounds of coke from the evidence room. He testified. 58 officers brought up against internal review board, 12 suspended, 7 resigned, and 5 were fired.
Okay. So no jail time or anything for
what?
Exactly. Exactly.
From then on, many of their issues were administrative and related to not getting anything done, sucking ass. One of the more significant events that both the wiki page and the LAPD history don't like to mention is the 2013 Chris Dorner shootings and subsequent manhunt. Chris Dorner was a former Navy reservist, lieutenant. He'd made headlines as a young man for turning in $8,000 that he'd found on the street that had turned out to belong to a church. He turned it into the police. He'd entered the LAPD in 2006 and told his partner on his first day that he planned to sue the LAPD after his probationary period because they ignored his complaints of discrimination and racism in the academy. Chris Dorner is black. In 2007, he filed a report against a fellow officer who beat the fuck out of a dude with schizophrenia and dementia while he was handcuffed on the ground. He filed a report after he heard her evaluation of him that said he needed to improve. He was like, okay, all right,
bitch.
It's gloves off.
Yeah.
Are you saying that I needed to kick the man? They investigated and eventually said the lady didn't kick the fuck out of the guy.
Of course.
So in 2008, they fired him for false statements. The appeal process basically doesn't really acknowledge if the reports are true, like they're presumed to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just evaluating if they can fire him. So all the way up to the Court of Appeals, they agree that Dorner should have been fired, that the LAPD was fine to do that. In 2013, he publishes an 1,100-word manifesto. Never a good sign.
No, not a good sign at all.
Not a lot of good manifesto starting.
Yeah.
He published, it had a list of 40 LAPD officers that he said he plans to kill as a revenge for the coercion and his firing. He sends a package to CNN explaining himself, and then he hunts the police officers. Basically, without getting really into the nitty gritty of it, he kills 4 in different ambushes and injures another 3.
Wasn't he a veteran?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I said he was a Navy. I mean, a Navy lieutenant.
Oh, did you? Yeah, did you? Sorry.
But he was a marksman. You know, he bragged about it. He sent a medallion that had a bunch of bullet holes in it, and he said one MOA is what he wrote on it. You know, it was like, look, I'm a good shot. He got like a badge or some shit. So, so while the LAPD are searching for him, they find a truck that they think has Chris in it, and eight police officers just start shooting at it right off the rip.
Naturally.
Shoot 107 shots at two women delivering newspapers, one of them 71 years old.
Oh.
They claim, listen to this, dude, this is so topical, they claim that the sound of the women's newspaper slapping against the pavement sounded like gunshots.
No shit. We've come full circle. That's insane.
In 107 shots fired, they do not kill the defenseless, unmoving women in their truck. No one was fined liable for the shooting, and the women received a $4.2 million settlement, plus $40,000 for the truck.
Yeah, and you...
That's LA. That's the city LA, of yeah. LA's money.
LA, yeah. You paid... LA people, you paid for that. You paid for that, so, that lawsuit.
And then they shot... they shot another truck that was not the same make... Not the same color, and driven by a white man. They just unload on it. Nice. They're like, "That's Chris Dorner." Yeah. They actually smash into it, like, start shooting at it, and they don't hit him a single time. And he gets $1.8 million.
That's insane, bro. That's so insane. Like, at this point, you're just like shooting to like scare him. You're like not trying. Like, are you intentionally missing? Because statistically,
I mean, maybe they
statistically
are.
Statistically speaking, someone should have hit something.
It would be really fun to shoot at someone and not want to hit them, and because, like, you know, like they have to respond.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so I guess.
I get like, the childish bully satisfaction. Of
scaring somebody.
Move your head. Yeah,
yeah, like that. Just like making them dance or whatever.
But that's giving them a lot of credit.
Oh,
I don't think the cops could hit them if they tried. And I'm glad that they missed. I'm super glad.
Super glad.
Missed. Like, I got almost $2 million for that shit.
That's
dude.
Insane.
Like, he's like, crazy day, but overall,
not bad.
Dude, if the cops unload mags at me for no reason, I'd just be like, yes,
oh, dude.
Yeah.
I'll never work again a day in my life.
Chris Dorner was eventually cornered, despite all of the claims previously that you can't corner the Dorner. And he was cornered in a lake cabin that the police accidentally set on fire. And Chris Dorner shot himself.
You accidentally set something on fire.
Yeah. And, you know, that's where I left the end of my coverage of the LAPD, because I could have gone into more, but I think you guys get it. I think you get it.
Dude. Whoa, my Pretty God, bad. Bro.
Isn't that crazy? Dude, when I was going through this, I'm like seeing all these things I covered. I was like, oh my God, like
that
LAPD really is all over our shit,
dude. Yeah, holy fuck,
they are really just criminals,
literally criminals, literally criminals.
And I was like, you know, the crash gang, that could have been a whole story. I could have just done
a whole story in itself. Well, when you brought up Chris Dorner, I was like, oh, okay, this is your workaround for the text that you sent me.
I think the LAPD did all that shit.
I think he
told the truth.
I think he did too.
The court ignored him. I think he did everything. He wanted to be a police officer.
Yeah, why would he lie? Why would he lie?
He tried so hard, and then he got shit on, and he just got shit on and shit on and shit on, and I get it. I don't condone it, but I get it.
Well, my story is kind of like the other side, kind of, it's a law enforcement story, but it's not a shitty LAPD law enforcement story.
That's good.
Because I'm going to be talking about one of the first black deputy U.S. Marshals in this shithole we call America. Good old Bass Reeves.
Dude, I was going to do
ha! 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 Not anymore, bitch.
Yeah, that's glad you didn't tell me.
Yeah, so July 16th, 1838 in Crawford County, Arkansas. He was born into slavery. He got his name from his grandfather, Bass Washington, and his last name from the Arkansas state legislator who was at the time enslaving his family, William Steele Reeves. In the 1840s, Mr. Slave-owning legislator man picks up and moves to Texas, where Bass starts an apprenticeship as a blacksmith. This is going fine, and then all of a sudden, they pluck him out of his blacksmithing career. Air quotes. And he becomes the servant to the son of this legislator bitch boy, this guy named George Reeves. So bitch boy legislator son was at the time Speaker of the House and would later serve in the Piss Baby Army, sometimes referred to as the Confederate Army, as a piss baby colonel. Oh, yeah, you saw my Snapchat video of when I was driving to Iowa, all those fucking dumb, stupid idiots on the highway waving Confederate flags. Fucking losers. Losers.
Just go and punch
so dumb, dude.
Fucking back of the knees.
Yeah.
Blow out their knees.
All old people, obviously.
Obviously.
So Bass is forced to follow Piss Baby Man everywhere, even accompanying him in the Battle of Pea Ridge. After all that, one day, him and his Piss Baby Boy are playing cards, and they get into a heated argument. This argument ensues. Bass does the only thing you should do when arguing with racists and punches him right in a stupid fucking face. Fucking incredible, you know, just to say the least. After all this, Bass is like, well, it's fucking time for me to be hitting the old dusty trail because these musty ass crackers are most certainly not going to let him get away with punching a white man in the face. So he flees north to what is now Oklahoma. So while here, which at the time was Native territory, he lived with the Cherokees, the Seminole, and the Creek. It still is, yeah. He becomes fluent in the Muscogee language. He also picks up languages of the other tribes in the area. Yeah, he's a fucking G, man. For a little while after that, Reeves becomes a Union sergeant, fighting in a unit made up of former slaves and Native Americans. He fights the Piss Baby Confederates. And then in 1863, the Civil War comes to an end, and the Emancipation Declaration drops. For our listeners not from around these parts, it was the abolishment, I'm using air quotes again, abolishment of slavery, which was, you know, what it said on paper, but didn't really happen like that.
Yeah, no.
So Bass takes his new legal freedom. He takes his new legal free self, and he settles in Arkansas. Good old Arkansas, becomes a simple, humble farmer. He marries a gorgeous gal named Nellie Jenny, and they have 5 boys and 5 girls, which, goddamn.
God!
Goddamn.
No way. How many are dead?
Well, it didn't say. Well, some of them are at least alive, because we'll get to that. But obviously, this was in the time where you just fire them out and hope one they don't die.
At least
one or two, you know what I'm saying? So he lives this life as a little farmer up until around 1875, when he is hired as a guide by the U.S. Marshals in the territory. As a guide,
there's a show about him.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah, there is. As a guide, Bass was worth his weight in gold to these U.S. Marshals. Because the territory that Bass lived in was one of the most dangerous territories at the time. There were so many lawmen getting blasted in these territories that it's described as the greatest battleground between crime and law in the history of the United States.
Du Bois, because a lot of that was like bushwhacker gangs and shit. And Du Bois described it as just, he's like, the Civil War resumed.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really good. I was like, that's a much more accurate way to frame it.
That's exactly what it was.
Confederate fucking rebels fighting the Union Army.
That's what I put in here. I was like, it was so dangerous because it was where all the fucking shitty bad guys go to hide out, because it's not, you know, it's territory. It's not part of the country yet. So the U.S. Marshals hired Bass because he knew the territory incredibly well. He spoke the language of the tribes in the area, and he was also friends with them, and he was just fucking tough as nails. This was also a time where the only people who could enforce federal law were the U.S. Marshals and the fucking Pinkerton Detective Agency.
Which is crazy.
Insane. Insane. So Bass is hired as a guide, and he was damn good at what he did. So good, he was officially deputized. In 1875, Isaac Parker, a former U.S. congressman, was appointed federal judge for the Indian Territory. It's his time as judge where he got this really cute, quirky nickname, the Hanging Judge, because he would send so many fucking people to the gallows.
Badass.
He's fucking insane. So the Hanging Judge appoints James F. Fagan as U.S. Marshal and is like, go fucking hire 200 deputies, please. Fagan has heard of this has heard of Bass Reeves through the grapevine and how he knew the territory super well. He could speak several native language, and he was like, give me that motherfucker right there. And Reeves was deputized. So Reeves would go on to become one of the best damn lawmen the United States has ever seen. He was illiterate his entire life, so when he was given a court order to bring in a fugitive, he would remember it all by heart. He was
Who?
Bass Reeves.
He was illiterate?
Yeah. So when he would get his court orders, like he would just remember him.
Part of all
I know,
of
yeah. It's insane, right?
What?
Yeah.
He just learned all
yeah,
that shit?
Yeah, he just kept it what in the old steel trap, dude. So
imagine if he could read.
Insane.
He would have been unstoppable.
So he was an expert horseman and marksman, and not to mention he was fucking big as shit, standing at 6'2", and being a farmer and a blacksmith for a good portion of his life, he was strong as fuck. Reeves was a deputy marshal from 1875 to 1907, and during those years, our boy made around 3,000 arrests.
Quite a few.
Yeah, it's a lot. It ain't a number to shake a finger at, you know what I'm saying? It's
quite a few.
He got in several gunfights, his hat and belt
being... How many years?
From 1875 to 1907.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So 32 years.
He had some time. Yeah. Yeah. What's like 97 arrests per year or some shit like that?
94.
That was close. He so he got into several gunfights, obviously, because he was a black U.S. Yeah. Marshal, and he would.
That's almost two a week.
That's crazy.
1.8 a week. Yeah, that's
And in a time where you had to like track down fugitives from like literally nothing, knowing nothing about them. Yeah, all week.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus, he's doing it like every 3 days.
Yeah. Throughout his career, his hat and his belt get shot off on separate occasions. He put 14.
Belt getting shot
dude,
off.
That's crazy. Crazy.
A hat. Okay. That could happen.
A belt?
But a belt is like, you almost died.
You almost, yeah, you got you hit, my boy.
Yeah.
So,
got.
During his tenure, he puts down 14 dirty ne'er-do-wellers in the ground in self-defense.
The ne'er-do-wells.
Do what?
We both.
Oh, yeah, dude. I had that in my notes, too. That was ad lib. Yeah. One of those times was when he was hired to arrest two brothers. He hired two local guides to show him around the area, but unbeknownst to Bass, his guides were actually the men he was after. While in camp one night, he notices one of the brothers reaching for his pistol. Reeves draws his own pistol. Hold on. Reeves draws his own pistol and is like, don't fucking try it, motherfucker. And as he's aiming this pistol at one of the brothers, he hears the gun click. There you go. Some immersion for you. He hears the gun of the other brother behind him click, and that's when Reeves turns around, super fucking speedy, like shoots that brother dead. I think
it's such a like, oh, it's gonna be like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you hear the click,
yeah.
Like, okay, all right, we're killing. Yeah.
I think it was there were conflicting theories of if the other brother got taken in to custody or if he had got shot dead. Neither here nor there. So there was another time when he was hunting three famous outlaw brothers called the Brunters. They end up ambushing Reeves and have him at gunpoint. Reeves asks for the date. The brothers are like, why? And Reeves is like, well, your arrest warrant needs a date. And so what's today's date? So the brothers start laughing because they got this dude like kind of on his knees at gunpoint. While they're laughing, Reeves draws his pistolas and like motherfucking lightning shoots two of the brothers dead.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude was fucking quick with it. I would love to see that man draw his gun. I would love just to fucking see how quick
he is. It's crazy because it's like, it's his job.
It's his job, yeah.
His job isn't, because like at that time, as much of his game as shooting is pulling it out.
It's drawing it out. And
that's
like,
crazy.
I wonder what kind of gun he used. Like, what year was double action revolvers?
Like the 1910s, okay. 1920s.
So he still had a fucking single action. So it was
maybe the late 1890s.
It was drawing and then pulling the hammer back. So fucking that man was quick. He was super quick. So he shoots two of those brothers dead. I got mixed up the last story where I was like, oh, conflicting accounts. That wasn't the one with the conflicting accounts. This one was. Two different accounts. Reeves took the third into custody, or some people say that he cracked the man's skull open with his own gun. So, you know. Yeah, in another arrest, Reeves decides that going in guns a-blazing isn't going to work, and he gets wind that the men that he's after have taken refuge in their mother's home. So he takes off his well-polished boots, he shoots three holes into his hat, and he dirties up his clothes, and he walks 28 miles to their mother's cabin, which he believes, like I said, the outlaws are hiding out in. When he arrives, he knocks on the door. When the outlaw's mother answers, Reeves pretends that he's an outlaw on the run from old John Law. The woman, who is kind of a real one, to be honest, takes him in and lets him hide in her house, basically. So later that night, she sends out a loud whistle and giving signal to her two boys that the coast is clear. They show up, go into the house. She lets him know, hey, someone else is staying here because he's also on the run from the law. They're like, cool, got it, awesome, we're going to bed.
She's like, wow. And they're like, wow, this place is crazy.
Yeah, it's so the men go to bed. The next morning, the rest of the marshals show up and find the two men still asleep but handcuffed, and Reeves basically watching over them with his pistol out.
Just eating breakfast.
Dude, right? You know, yeah. Dude, yeah.
Reading a book, you know.
So Reeves gets a nice $120,000 reward for these men. That's in today's money.
What?
That's not cowboy money. That's converted into today's money. That's 5K old-timey money.
Wow.
Yeah. So as time goes on, Reeves's reputation, it grows and grows. He became such a feared lawman that criminals were literally having nightmares about him. In one instance, a man named Jerry McIntosh had pulled his wife out of bed and set her on fire in a drunken rage. His wife ended up surviving the incident, but she was in critical condition. Jerry fired up his Lamborghinis and he went out on the fucking lam. And while he was on the run, he had a nightmare in which Reeves was basically hiding in the bushes and ambushed him and shot him in the back as he was running away. When Jerry woke up, he was like, nah, fuck that. It ain't going down like that. And he goes and turns himself in, which is fucking crazy, dude.
He's like, no, he will find
me. Dude, he will find me, yeah. So Reeves was fucking, you know, stone cold serious about upholding the... Dude, yeah, I know. Like insane.
Your wife on fire insane. And a fit of rage is just on the...
Drunken rage, man. So Reeves was incredibly serious about upholding the law and fighting for fair justice, so much so that when an arrest warrant was issued for his son, Benny Reeves, for killing his wife, Bass chose to be the one to execute the arrest. And even the judge was like, are you sure you don't want us to send someone else to do it because he's like your fucking son? And Reeves was like, give me the goddamn warrant. All right. He arrests his son, takes him to jail, and watches as a jury convicts him to life in prison. Eventually, later down the line, his son is released for being a quote model prisoner and never commits another crime after that. Reeves had a stellar career or a stellar record in his career, except for one incident when one day while at camp, he was trying to clear a bad cartridge from his rifle with his knife when the rifle went off and shot and killed his camp cook. So everyone that witnessed this happen testified that it was, in fact, a genuine, honest accident. Like,
how did he do that?
Yeah, apparently he was trying to clear a faulty cartridge out of his rifle with his fucking knife, and it went off.
He hit the primer?
I guess so, yeah. So...
What a ding-ding.
Yeah, you know.
Pointed away from people.
Yeah,
you got a live round in the chamber that you're poking at the back of?
I'll cut him some slack. It was cowboy times, and guns were just fucking... playthings, dude. So everyone that was there to witness it testifies that it was a genuine, honest to God accident, and Reeves was acquitted of this man's death. Now, that was a blemish on his record, but again, he was acquitted. It was an accident, and he felt terrible for it. So sometime after this, a fucking piss baby old Confederate judge takes over at the U.S. Attorney's Office, and he overrules the acquittal and formally charges Reeves. Reeves is stripped of his badge, and he's held in jail for 3 months. He was eventually acquitted again, but the expenses of the trial left him broke, and he was forced to sell his home. All this because some fucking racist asshole wanted to be a little prick. So, after his second acquittal, Reeves continues serving the law and dealing out fair justice. At 68, he steps down from the U.S. Marshals Services and becomes a police officer for the Muskogee Police Department before finally retiring in 1909. Not really because he wanted to. It was mostly because he had developed a kidney condition, and a year after his retirement, he dies on January
12, 1910. A year after retiring. I mean, at least he got a year of retirement instead of one day before retirement.
I mean, I'm sure if he had his way, he would have never retired. He only retired because of the kidney condition. So, I mean, he would have stayed with the U.S. Marshals probably until he died on the force. So that is the story of one. There's a common misconception that Bass Reeves was the first like black lawmen, which it's not. There were plenty of black lawmen at that time. He was one of the first, though, and I think he might have been one of the first in the U.S. Marshal Service.
That's believable.
Yeah, because they weren't.
That's pretty cool.
They weren't.
I think
brand
the LAPD
new.
Won that episode.
Yeah,
episode,
they suck. Though. They suck real bad.
They have a long history.
Yeah, the long history of being.
I mean,
fucking piece
you know,
of
he
shit.
Arrested 3,000 people. I mean, but also, you know, at the end of the day, he was a cop administering like American 1880s justice.
Yeah, it's one of those things of like how you know,
like do you think all of them
how
were,
warranted
like,
were
guys,
those arrests?
You know, and like how many of those guys got hung?
Yeah,
you know,
because they were going to the fucking hanging judge, who probably most of them, to be honest.
Like, were people getting hung for stealing?
I don't know. You know I mean? Didn't. Yeah, I don't know because I didn't look too much into the hanging judge, but I'm sure it was like. Well, I don't know, because his son got fucking charged with murder and got life in prison. So, I don't know. Maybe he got life in prison because Bass Reeves was his father. They didn't go into detail on that.
I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah.
But, the LAPD definitely they just touched more lives. You know?
Yeah. Ruined more. Cities. Yeah. Ruined fucking people's lives and cities. Because I was like trying to figure out who I wanted to cover, and I've obviously heard of Bass Reeves, you know, since forever ago. But it reminded me of the opening scene of the Watchmen series where they depict the Tulsa fucking massacre. In the beginning of that episode, while the massacre of Black Wall Street is happening, the main character guy. Or the kid that's like the main character for this portion of it is watching a silent film about Bass Reeves while his mom plays the piano. And that's why I was like, oh shit. Okay. Let me go see what's up with Bass Reeves.
Cool. Well, you got any recommendations this week?
Listen to the Smartless podcast. It's really good. Or read Neuromancer. Cause I am still reading that.
Is it good?
It is good. It is really good.
Should I read it?
Yeah, I think you'd like it.
Okay, I'm going to read it right after Bourdain. I'm 70% through Bourdain.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. I had to go back a little bit because when I started it, I was like kind of not in the zone. And then they started talking about shit and I was like, what the fuck? And so I restarted it and was like, all right, yeah, I want to make sure I retain this information.
I would recommend, you know, I rewatched it and Dune 1. The Dune ones with Chalamet. It's really good.
Is it really?
It's a really good movie. And I'm really excited to see Dune 2. So I would recommend seeing 1.
And then,
I can't recommend 2 because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go see it.
I'll
tell you guys.
Give us your consensus on it. We'll be back next week for another episode. So we'll see you guys then. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. If you got anything to say to us.
Watch us play Helldivers.
Yeah, watch us play Helldivers because it's fucking fun as shit. If you got something you want to say to us, go ahead and message us at the Instagram at Snacks Podcast. And we'll see you next week. Be safe, be kind to others, be kind to yourself. Love you so much. Bye bye.